Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Shiva Process Lecture Number 3. And I like to begin every program by quoting my guru, Swami Muktananda, who always said in Hindi, "Sab ko bade sanmane ke saath prem se adhik swagat." With great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And he always would say that that's the essence of spirituality, welcome another with love. So in that spirit, I welcome you to the third and last in the series on Shiva process. But when I was considering that, I thought, I may have to do one more. But after the retreat, I'll see. But it could be a final one. So, welcome everyone. And so I've been enjoying this series on Shiva process. So I'll give you a summary, because some of you are jumping in, having not been to the first two lectures, but that's all right. But I can tell you a bit of a summary of last month. I spoke about tearing thoughts. And tearing thoughts are a strange phenomenon of the inner world. I think most of us have it. And these are our own thoughts that turn against us and attack us. Like, I'm no good, I'm worthless, blah, blah. You know those thoughts? Isn't it a strange feature of our inner life that our own mind should turn viciously against us? Extraordinary. And it's very key. The key to happiness is to deal with those tearing thoughts and to get rid of them. So, I spoke a little bit about the unconscious last time, which has become a big bugaboo of 20th century psychology and so on. And I said that unconscious may not be as mysterious as we sometimes think, that we can make the unconscious conscious simply by paying attention, by close observation of our inner world. We get blindsided by the unconscious because we don't pay attention to our inner world. We're completely out of touch with it. When we don't pay attention, many hidden factors affect our life and without our being aware of them, like tearing thoughts. I always tell my students in meditation they should become aware of their tearing thoughts, which seems like a very unpleasant thing to do, but it's a very good thing to do. Sometimes negative habits and tendencies, these are things that affect us. Pardon. In Shiva process, we uncover the unconscious by working with both thought and feeling. And thought and feeling are two sides of the same coin. You'll notice from your own experience that when you're feeling good, your thoughts are very positive. When you're feeling bad, you tend to think negatively. Or if you're thinking negatively, your feeling is negative, and so on. They're always tied together. They're two sides of the same coin. And if we were to think about our inner world, it has precisely those two elements in it, feeling and thought. And the goal of meditation, the goal of spirituality, the goal of Shiva process is to attain what I call the clear space of good feeling, so that the mind is peaceful and clear and the feelings are positive and good. And that sounds very simple, but to attain that is very difficult. It may take a whole lifetime. The yogis call it to attain the inner self. They mean the space within of joy and upliftment and peace and understanding. We all have it in us, but we rarely meet it. We phase in and out of it. Sorry about my cough. And I also spoke about consciousness, my favorite topic. What an extraordinary power it is. Consciousness is the essence of the inner world. And a lot of religions worship God, but to me, God is consciousness. Consciousness is the highest thing in the universe. Pure consciousness is the highest thing. When it's at its upper, at its highest level, there's no other God but that. And consciousness, what we seek in life, thanks. What we really seek in life are all elements of our inner world. For instance, like satisfaction, like love, like peace, like joy, like security, like contentment. These are all elements of consciousness, elements of our inner world. And they're found only in the inner world. They can't be found, I like to say, at the 7-Eleven. I wish they were. So, to explore the inner world, to understand the inner world, to understand our own thought process and how emotions are affected by our thought process is very important. And so, when you become aware of that, you're entering a whole new phase of life. And so, I congratulate you, because coming to hear about Shiva process means that you have some interest in that. I also spoke about how language shapes the quality of our lives in both its spoken and unspoken forms. You could call the unspoken form self-talk. This damn mind is always talking. It's talking to us all the time. It's not always giving us good information either. One of the worst kinds of information is tearing thoughts, saying you can't do it, you're worthless, and so on. I mentioned last week that it's hard to work directly with feeling, but since feeling and thought are closely related, we can change feeling by working with thought. It's easier to work with thought. I can tell you to change your thought. Think of an elephant. Why I always think of an elephant? I don't know. There's a famous old story about thinking of a monkey. So you can do that, but if I say, become happy, if you're depressed, and I say, become happy, you want to kill me, wouldn't you? You want to punch me. Then I spoke about different kinds of statements that we use in Shiva process work. And so why don't we show that slide? Boy, that's complicated. So, let me call attention to the three important ones. Tearing thoughts, the first one, these are the worst. It says they're unskilled thoughts that give a downward shift. They make you depressed. If you're depressed, listen carefully. Everybody goes through depression sometime in their life. Some people are plagued by depression. If you're depressed, it means that you're having tearing thoughts. Let's take my life on it. It doesn't mean that you're aware of them, but you can become aware of them, and then you can work with them. You can fight them. So these are unskilled statements. The second one I want to mention is the A statement. Where's my little thingo? Got that. I love that thing. I'm not allowed to point. I can't point it at anyone, right?
Yes, that's right.
What about which one? This one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A statement. Yeah. Oh, unsteady hand. So an A statement is it's good. It's not the best kind of statement, but it's a really good kind of statement. And it's a statement of present feeling. A clear statement of present feeling. You see, when somebody's on a rampage and they're beating everyone up, killing everyone, if they just said, I feel angry, it would be much better. They could sit quietly and say, I feel angry. They don't have to act it out. So we found that the A statement's a very valuable thing. Sometimes a person like that's not aware they're angry. And to become aware that they're angry would be very good. And The other one I wanted to mention is the greatest statement, which is the G statement. There it is. And whoops. These G statements come from a higher source. The highest esoteric circle of humanity, from God, from Guru, from Scripture, from higher consciousness. And they help us get to the clear space of good feeling. So, okay, let's come to the present now. So, taking all of these different thoughts together, we can go to the second slide. We can boil it down to three steps or movements that together are the SPSI, Shiva Process Self-Inquiry. And so, to simplify it, here are the three movements of it. Now, the first one is investigation. This means you look within and you ask yourself, what's going on here? And, you know, if you've done the guided meditation, which we'll do later, you first examine certain key points within the body, at the navel, the heart, the throat, the third eye, and see what's going on there. Is it tense? Is it relaxed? Is it positive? Is it negative? And see, in any scientific experiment, the first thing is to observe, isn't it? Gather data, observe. Observe this, whatever it is. And I contend that this is inner science. Science is, the method of science is perfect. But to apply that methodology to your inner world, that's something different. That's what we're doing here. And so, once you ask what's going on here, ask that question, then the second step is recognition, the A statement. What's going on here? I feel angry. What's going on here? I feel peaceful. What's going on here? I feel sad. What's going on here? I'm confused. These are all possible A statements. So first you look, then you see what it is. And the third one is perhaps outside the range of normal science, but very important. It's called upliftment, because in this we try to uplift our feeling. Move towards happiness, move towards joy, move towards peace. And so for this we use the B and the G statement. The B statement is kind of a mundane statement, like they're there, you're okay. I'm okay, you're okay. Did you know that that form of psychology? Quite a few years ago there was a book written, I'm okay, you're okay. This was... and the G statement, which is a higher statement, which might be Tatwamasi, you are that, or Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, or Jesus loves you, or the self dwells within me, a metaphysical statement from a higher source. So this is the three movements. So it's to look within, find out what's going on there, become aware of it, and I could call it confess it, which means just acknowledge what's going on there. And then find through a skillful means a way of, if it's contracted or negative, to make it positive. And there are methods of that. Now, people, when we do the Shiva process, we look at four centers when we do the first part of that investigation. What's going on here in my navel area? What's going on here in my heart area? What's going on here in my throat area? What's going on here in my third eye? Something's going in my chest and throat, by the way. A lot of phlegm. I should do that dhoti when I was doing hatha yoga in India. Many years ago, we would swallow this cloth bandage and pull it up. I haven't done that in about 40 years, so. The phlegm. We were like mad to get rid of mucus. Mucus was the Antichrist. And we did all these things to get rid of it. So anyway. So people ask, why do you do those four centers? Some of them know that traditionally there are seven chakras and so on. That's because it's a different system. But what is a human being? A human being is a thinking, feeling, doing, and communicating creature. That's what we all is. No? Thinking, feeling, doing, and communicating. And these are four powerful and essential areas of life. Some of us think too much. Such men are dangerous. Some of us are hysterical 3 times before breakfast, as somebody said about peculiars. They feel too much. Some of us are just compulsive doers, mindless doers, and so on. And some of us can't communicate very well or communicate too much. There are all kinds of things. So if we can balance these four centers, then we transform our lives. And so the issue here is what I call the contaminated inner space. And so let's look at one more slide. The contaminated inner space. If your inner being was perfectly harmonious, then you would be in a state of joy, fulfillment, and also you'd be making intelligent choices. But alas, it often is contaminated by stuff that happens, by other people, by situations. We get contaminated. So self-inquiry is a method for dealing with the contamination in your inner space. And it shows up, first of all, in the navel area, the vital. And often you'll experience frustration and anger and tension in that area when you feel frustrated. Some people feel a lot in their navel area. The contaminated inner space can show up in the heart center. This is the peculiar person, the emotional person that we were hearing about before. our emotional center, when it's not functioning well, is given to negative emotion, to depression, and so on. When our heart center is operating well, it's full of love and joy. But then something happens and, you know, and then it shows up in the third eye, the intellectual center, the solid area, and when the third eye is functioning well, we have pure understanding and insight. When the third eye is not functioning well, we have confusion, wrong ideas, and so on. And classically, yogis talk about three knots, or grantis. They're called grantis. And these are nothing but contaminated, the contaminated inner space, the knot in the navel, the heart, and the third eye. And the yogis are aware of that, and they use different methods to unblock them. But we have the same problem. We can use inquiry to unblock them. And true inquiry, what's the next point? Skillfully deals with contamination in any of its forms. So in a way, you know, it's bad news that I'm giving you here by saying all these things, and yet it's absolutely accurate. And that's why there's such a big problem in drugs, alcohol, and all that kind of stuff. It's because we feel this and we don't want to feel it. But all those things work temporarily, but they don't really work. But it is possible to deal with the suffering that we attain that we just, that comes to us, that we obtain through relating to people and living our lives by direct means, by meditation, by self-inquiry. And we can totally transform our lives. And next point is that inquiry discovers the blocks and restores flow. A block is like a tension or a contraction. It can be in any of these areas. It can be in the navel, the heart, the throat, the third eye, or other places too, but primarily there. And when there's a tension there, that tension can be undone and flow is restored. When flow happens, there's a feeling of well-being, of joy, of love and insight. okay, we can take that down. So how does contraction, what I'm calling contraction, show up? Well, we become, a lovely list I have here, ready? We become tense, angry. Any of you know these states? Depressed, bored, dry, dull, fearful, ignorant, lazy, slovenly, jealous, proud, demanding. And I was just describing one person I know. I have to tell you the story. Neurotic, narcissistic, self-obsessed, and overbearing. Do you know somebody like that? And what does expanded consciousness look like? Peaceful, loving, joyous, wise, illumined, happy, creative, celebratory, compassionate. These are signs of the expanded. We have both of those, all of those, in us. Why? Because we are conscious beings. Consciousness is gets that way. Consciousness gets contracted, and then it expands, and we can gain control over that process through inner work. It reminds me of a story from the Mahabharata, which is epic. It's an epic poem that every Indian child reads, you know. Lord Krishna called Duryodhana, who was the villain of the piece, and said, "Look at this vast crowd. Do you see any saints and great beings there?" And Duryodhana said, "No, I see nothing but sinners, disgusting people." Then he called Yudhishthira, who was the hero, and he said to him, "Yudhishthira, do you see all the sinners and disgusting people?" He said, no, I don't see a single one. I see just beautiful, joyous people." So it said more about Duryodhana than Yudhishthira, obviously. But the same world looks that way. There's a saying from the Yoga Vishishta, "The world is as you see it." When we're happy, the whole world looks happy. When we're miserable, the whole world looks miserable. You know the song, "Everybody Loves a Lover." When you're in a state of love, you're so ecstatic and you're generous. Even the worst skinflint, if they happens to fall in love, which isn't easy for a skinflint, but suddenly becomes madly generous. Then later he comes down and he says, "What have I done?" But you see, both of those are in us. They're both in us. And if we somehow could become at source of that process of moving from contracted to expanded, we could transform our lives. Now, what is tension, this contraction, but a block in feeling? I don't feel good. I'm unhappy. And we call this, in Shiva process work, second force. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. So here's the definition. The Shiva process includes all efforts to reduce tensions and blocks leading to the clear space of good feeling or leading to the inner self. Everything you do to make yourself feel better is part of Shiva process. So having a couple of whiskeys is part of Shiva process. Smoking a joint is part of Shiva process. Whatever. So they're all part of, but they're really bad, dumb Shiva process. Those are dumb Shiva process. But you see, we do all those things in order to reduce tensions and blocks. But smart Shiva process is by using self-inquiry. When the energy flows freely, that's correct. There's no negative feeling it. And that's called, in the Eastern thought, that's called liberation or self-realization. Perfect flow is self-realization. And in truth, you can't have perfect flow without sadhana, without doing some inner work, working on yourself, becoming aware by meditating and doing inquiry. Inquiry says, don't run away from feeling, which is what we do when we numb ourselves, get drunk, and so on. Don't run away from feeling, even bad feeling. Instead, turn towards it, acknowledge it. I'm feeling angry. And inquire into it. It has something to teach us. I remember when I decided that I would investigate boredom. I want to know what boredom is. And I got so excited to investigate, I couldn't find it. I was so interested. I said, how am I going to do that? It's like, the shadow disappearing or something. But every feeling has something to teach us. And here's an important point. Every feeling, even depression, if you dug deep enough, went down under it, you would come to peace and joy. Because underneath it all is the good feeling. It's always there. Okay. How are we doing? So, the next topic is, I mentioned second force a while back. Second force refers to the feeling of block, not yet, or frustration that we often experience. The notion of the three forces goes back to the Vedic teaching of the three gunas. In the 20th century, G.I. Gurdjieff reworked it as three forces. He was a Middle Eastern mystic, and he talked about three forces. And it's worth mentioning that in the 19th century, the German philosopher Hegel, what did he do? You know the Hegelian dialectic, did they teach that to you? of thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis. Not easy to say. He said the world moves, and he was an idealist, which means he thought about ideas. So idea A, and then idea not A, the opposite, and then the resolution, which was a synthesis, kind of a compromise or a reworking that allows. That's called the Hegelian dialectic. And he said history moved according to that principle. And who picked that principle up but our beloved Karl Marx? So Karl Marx in the 19th century created something, well, I'm not sure who, whether it was Marx or Engels or one of those guys. he created a theory called dialectic materialism. You ever heard of the communism called, it's called dialectical materialism. Have you heard that? He took the Hegelian dialectic and he applied it to the world, only he was a materialist. So he thought that the world history unfolded according to these movements. A thing happened, its opposite, and then so on. So communist theory is based on this threefold movement. None of that's relevant to what we're doing tonight. just a little pedantry. So let's look at the three forces as they relate to Shiva process. Okay, so first force. What is first force? In the first box, it's the initiating force, the creative force. And where does that take place? Everything takes place in the inner world that is created in the inner world. I always like to say, here's an object. See this object? This is in the outer world, right? But it came from some inner world. Somebody somewhere said, let's make a pen like that. In some company, in some boardroom, he had this idea and they told his friend and they said, great idea, we'll make a pen in the Artline company with a little felt tip. Very clever thing. So it came from the inner world, came out. So first force was the impulse from within. It's from, so the second box, consciousness and the inner world. And so this is next box, wants, desires, plans, intentionality. So we're very active in first force. So all kinds of things we want, right? We want, you know, everything. Money, love, fame, power. All those things. So, however, there's a problem. What did they say? You can't always get what you want. All right, second force. The problem is second force. Second force, the block. I want this. No, you can't have it. And actually, it's reality that says that to us. The world, matter, or the outer world. And so the outer world's indifferent. We want so much, but the outer world doesn't give a damn. Like, who is it that didn't give a damn? Is that Rhett Butler? Rhett Butler. The outer world's like Rhett Butler. It doesn't give a damn. And Gurdjieff, you say, man cannot do. We have lots of dreams, but we can't execute them because the cards are stacked against us. My father used to say, I have a bad zombie. That's how he described the second force that he felt whenever he wanted to do something. I have a bad zombie. You have a bad zombie? You know what I'm talking about? So that's second force. But we can't leave it there. This is the predicament that consciousness, conscious beings like us, have when we enter the material world. You see, if we lived in a world only of mind, then whatever we have would immediately happen. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? I want this, boom. I want that, boom. But instead we live in this world where even if you can do something, like I want to build a house, I have the money, it takes a year to do it, actually, because it's the material world. It moves slowly. But then there's, thankfully, third force. And this is the resolving or the enabling force. And in this work, we call that inner work or sadhana, spiritual work. We bring to unblock Shiva process, unblock the block. And in the third box there, it can be grace, intelligence. Sometimes intelligence unlocks these blocks. We bring skill, know-how, and then suddenly we can do something. These are the three forces. This is what we face in our life all the time. We have a desire, and then we sense a block to it. And then we have to find a way either to give up that desire or to fulfill it by some clever means. If you stay with simple desires, like, I want to move this pen over there, I can do that. I want to move the pen back. Oh, I'm feeling really good about myself. I want to move the pen back. Look, everything I want, I get. I want $10 million. Oh, a little difficult. I want Miss X to love me. A little difficult. So, third force, okay. It's meaningful to speak of good and bad third force. Third force is the way we respond to second force. So wherever there's a block in your life, in your relationships, in your career, in your health, wherever there is a block, that's second force is there. And then the way you respond is third force. If you respond intelligently and apply something good, then you'll get through it. But it's also, it's also you can apply bad third force. Sometimes we respond intelligently and sometimes foolishly. For example, you can, if you feel blocked, you can have a tantrum. You ever seen anyone do that? Okay. So what's a tantrum about? Maybe when you were two or three, a tantrum got you what you wanted in your family. So then maybe it was good third force then. The proper way, get what you want, is have a tantrum. But when you're 30, it doesn't look so pretty. It certainly won't get you what you want, and everybody will hate you too. So in other words, the tantrum is an outmoded coping thing. And yet I know many mature people who run tantrums all the time, and we still apply it. It doesn't work very well. Third force should resolve second force. It should overcome the block and create a new flow. So that's creative, and that's the essence of spiritual life, is to unblock the areas of block and create a new flow. Who wouldn't want to do that? And it's the most intelligent way to do that in every area of life. So to do that, we have to become aware of the blocks and also know how to adopt methods that increase flow. In other words, when you do dumb stuff, you get dumb results. And if you keep doing dumb stuff, you'll keep getting dumb results. What was that thing about if you keep doing the same thing, you just keep getting... Effective spirituality and effective living is to have the insight to see this and the discipline to try something different. So... Let's do a short guided meditation and look for second force that we might be carrying now. All right? Now, how does... Just very short. We'll look at those four areas, okay? And ask yourself, is there second force in that area? And what will it show up as? I'll let you discover. But some kind of contraction, some kind of tension, some kind of block, okay? So let's close our eyes. And bring our attention to the navel area. Feel the feeling in the navel area. Ask yourself, is there second force, some kind of blockage in my navel area? If there is, see if you can identify it. What is it about, or what is it? Now bring the attention up to the chest, the heart area. Same deal. Is there a second force operating in my heart area? If there is, see what it's about, if you can see that. Also identify the feeling. Now let's bring our attention up to the throat. Be aware if there's second force in the throat area. If so, what is the feeling? And now let's bring our attention up to the third eye, the brow. Is there a second force operating in that area? Identify the feeling. Okay, let's open our eyes. Did you discover any second force? Raise your hand if you discovered some second force. Okay. Where was it? Where was second force? How many found some second force in the navel area? How many found some second force in the heart area? How many found some second force in the throat area? How many found some second force in the third eye area? Very interesting. Anybody want to say what they saw, what the feeling was, or what may have caused it, or whatever you saw in that just that brief thing? Anybody want to volunteer? An extroverted peculiar? Oh, there they are. Yes?
In the third eye, I kind of drifted off.
You had what?
In the third, in the brow center, I kind of drifted off a bit, and I was at the top of a kind of long hill, like a snow hill, covered hill, from childhood when there was a toboggan, and I was just viewing this toboggan about to go down this hill, see, in the snow.
How did you interpret that?
I think one of my favorite memories as a child was tobogganing and sledding with my mum.
That sounds like a good experience.
It was, but my mum, she broke her tailbone.
Oh.
And it was kind of part of her decline. She died when I was 8. So I think maybe it's that.
Wow. That brought up some...
That's what I would interpret it as.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
That would make sense.
I'm not sure if I'm interpreting what you're saying right. If I was to say that in my heart worry.
Yeah.
Would that be? Yes. And how that makes, because I'm constantly worried.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm constantly in fear if I'm constantly worried.
That's right. That's a very good discovery.
Right, okay.
And so you, through Shiva process methods, you can work on that. That can be overcome.
No matter how old you are?
Absolutely. I'm much older than you. No, absolutely. We have three main negative feelings are anger, fear, and sadness. And anger has different varieties. Fear is worry. And sadness can be depression at its worst. So these, everybody is prey to one or the other of these things. And they can be overcome. That's what the Buddha said. Suffering can be overcome. So that's great, great discovery. Okay, so that's second force. Okay, let's leave it at that. We'll just continue and finish, then we'll meditate. But it's quite remarkable, as you can see, that we can be carrying a hell of a lot, a ton of second force, without knowing it. See, what you discovered there, I didn't put there, did I? It was there. We carry it around with us. And this unconscious second force screws up our life. It diminishes our energy and creates unhappiness. However, if we deal with it effectively through self-inquiry and meditation, then we can reduce the experience of second force and move closer to having a life of flow and peace and joy and fulfillment. So it's good to learn how to deal with second force as it arises in our life and continues to do so from moment to moment. Okay, so now a little, just six questions of self-inquiry. I should have had this as a giveaway. We'll print some up. Next time. No? Should we print them up?
Yeah.
What?
We've got some. We might have some.
Six questions to self-inquire?
Yeah.
Who do we have to ask at the desk?
Us, yeah. Okay. It's
also in my book, which is on sale tonight. Anyway, six questions. First one is investigation. What's going on here? So I look in. And then second question is, what emotion is it? And then we recognize it and we make a statement. Then we say, what caused it? And this is the story of it. In a way, the story is not real. Your life story is not real. All that's real is just your flow of your emotions. I don't mean that, but we can ask, what did it? That guy did that to me, and I felt bad all day, and blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, my parents did it to me. And then the fourth thing is, what do I need to do to change the feeling or to relax the contraction? Sometimes I say, there's four things you can do in a bad situation. You can try to change the situation, like your boss is mean, have a conversation, that doesn't work. Second one, you can change yourself. Say, well, I'll have to accept it. The third one is, you can leave, I quit. But there are some situations you can't leave. And the fourth one is do nothing and whinge. Now, the other three all have some power to them sometimes, situationally. But the fourth one, just whinging, which is what we mostly do, doesn't have any power at all. Well, maybe it does a little. Boy, I felt good to whinge about that. So this is... what do I need to do to change it? And the fifth one is, what understanding do I need to release the contraction? And finally, what's the highest perspective I can take? This is the G statement. What's the highest perspective? What philosophical, spiritual understanding can I have to deal with it? And that's very valuable in a lot of situations. So that's about what I wanted to say tonight, except for a shortcut I have, which is, this is shortcut Shiva process. Yes. Which is, you know how Eckhart Tolle, you might know, is always talking about the now. So, shortcut Shiva process, I only have this now, this present moment, right now, this is it. So, what can I do to uplift myself in this moment, right now? What can I do to uplift myself in this moment? To have what we call an upward shift. And so that's Shiva process on the fly right in this moment. Is there some different way of thinking, some action, some thought, some contemplation that I can do right now to transform my life experience and uplift it right now? So that's a streamlined Shiva process. And it's my conviction that the great beings, the great yogis, the great realizers do that. That they're transforming, every moment they transform the experience of second force and difficulty of living into joy on the fly. They have the ability to do that. So that's just my shortcut. Does that help anybody? And I have just a couple of quotes and then we can meditate. Rumi, the great Sufi poet, said, "Always check your inner state with the Lord of your heart." Isn't that good? What does that mean? God knows. But it sounds like Shiva process to me. Yeah?
Gurdjieff said in his teaching.
What's he saying?
Gurdjieff said in his teachings, he described an inner policeman. So that, to me, equates to an inner policeman.
He said, Gurdjieff said that there's an inner policeman.
Yeah. I think the Lord of your heart, an inner policeman. but I understand what you're saying. But it's saying, you know, what the great yogis tell us is that your very nature is bliss and love. I'm talking to you, all right? Listen to me. Your very nature is love and bliss. This is what they tell us. I realized at one point my guru was talking to me and saying to me that my nature was love and bliss, yet I was assailed by tearing thoughts. So I said, how can that be? And I contemplated, but I'm convinced now that our true nature is love and bliss. So check your inner state. Are you living that bliss? So check it with the Lord of your heart. And finally, another quote from a theoretician of the Shiva process. He says, since you're the only subject of your universe, in other words, in your inner world is only you, nobody else. Nobody else. So if you're happy or sad, it's of interest to no one but you. Is it of interest to you? Massive interest, critical interest. But no one else gives a damn. Well, maybe a few people give a little bit of a damn. But basically, it's our job. You create, you sustain, and you destroy your own experience. Moment to moment, you experience either grace or concealment. It means either flow or block. Grace is marked by expansion and upliftment, while concealment is marked by contraction and pain. So that's our predicament, and we should confront it directly and work on it. And there's great possibility. The Buddha did it. He saw this issue, and he conquered it. And all the great beings did it. Bhagwan Nityananda did it. So many great beings did it. That means that we also can do it, but we have to pay attention to it. So that's the end of my sermon. So let's meditate. I'll lead you through a little bit of Shiva process, and we'll meditate for about 10 minutes. And thank you for allowing me to do the series on the Shiva process. I'm getting addicted to it. So we'll see what happens after the retreat. And by all means, if you'd like to know more, come to the retreat. The retreat will be very illuminating. So let's close our eyes. And go within. We're going to look at those four centers again. attention to the navel area. Become aware of the feeling in the navel area. It may be tense or it may not. Bring in the thought, I let go. I give up the struggle. I just float. I'm floating. Now let's bring our attention up to the heart area. Become aware of the feeling in the heart. It might be pleasant or it might be unpleasant. You might feel worried, you might feel sad. Bring in the thought, I give my love. I love. Wherever you can give your love, send it there. You love your cat. You love your mother. You love football. Let the heart feel love. Now bring the mind to the area of the throat. Feel the feeling in the throat. This is communication central. Be aware of the feeling in the throat and bring in the thought, I speak the truth with kindness. I say what I have to say in a kindly way. And now let's go up to the third eye. This is the intellectual center. See if there's second force there, confusion or block. And bring in the thought, I see the truth. I understand the truth. I have clarity. And let's meditate now for about 7 minutes.